The readings from Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus has told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as we've said, today is indeed Palm Sunday, the beginning of the observation of Holy Week. And each year during this week, we're reminded of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, as he arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover amid celebration and joy and was hailed by the crowds of his followers as their saviour, the Messiah, the Son of God. And during Holy Week, Jesus was adored, but then abandoned by his friends, arrested, envied by authorities who were playing political games, tortured by people who thought nothing of cruelty and committing murder. He was tried in a rigged and bogus trial, put to death in the most humiliating and painful way possible on a cross. During Holy Week, Jesus died, was buried by his grief-stricken friends and followers, but was seen again by those same people as he overcame death to live again forever. All in just 1 week. And we know it happened, not only from the Bible accounts, but from historical secular writings of the day. So therefore, Holy Week is a time when we celebrate our love for Jesus, then mourn his suffering, then rejoice again on Easter Day. Rejoice for his resurrection and for our own. So today on Palm Sunday, as we hold our palm crosses, as people held palm branches over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, let's imagine what that day was like. And let's look together at what God might be saying to us through the words of our passage this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we look at your word together this morning, would you open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts? Help us to not only hear your word, but to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at the beginning of our Bible passage today, Jesus comes to a place near Bethphage, a little village near the top of the Mount of Olives. Here Jesus dispatched two of his disciples to go into this village, find a colt, the foal of a donkey. He specifies that the colt is one that has never been ridden before. He tells his disciples, if anyone asks a question, simply say, "The Lord needs it." So let's think about what Jesus asked for. The Lord has a need of a donkey on which no one had ever ridden. Jesus wants to ride this animal into Jerusalem, an unbroken donkey. Now, some have pointed to this unbroken colt that Jesus rode on that first Palm Sunday as one of Jesus' most astonishing miracles. Because people who raise donkeys point out that anyone attempting to just jump astride an unbroken donkey is in for the ride of their life. Because the donkey will rear back to throw its strange load, or it may break into a gallop, making unexpected sudden turns, kicking and bucking all the way. Better to ride a bucking bronco than jump bareback on an unbroken donkey. Yet maybe that's the first point we need to take from this event. It was an unbroken beast, stubborn, obstinate, perhaps a bit stupid, but Jesus rode it. The Lord has need of it. Something that seems so terribly ordinary as that unridden young donkey was able to do something extraordinary under the guidance of Jesus. Is that not the message? Could this not be a message that is at the very heart of our faith? The Lord has need of the most ordinary people who are called to do the most extraordinary things. With Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem were his disciples, the 12 that he'd called a couple of years before, saying, "The Lord has need of you." They were really a very unlikely group of very ordinary men. The leader of the group was Peter, who quite often seemed to say the wrong things. The brothers, James and John, stumbled over their own egos as they argued who should sit on the right hand of Jesus. Simon belonged to a group of revolutionary terrorists called the Zealots. What an odd person to be part of a group committed to bringing the message of peace on earth and goodwill among all people. We know little more than the names of most of the disciples. We only know that they were ordinary people to whom Jesus said, "The Lord has need of you," and they responded to the invitation. In a generation, this group of ordinary disciples did the most extraordinary thing. In one generation, they extended the good news of the gospel as far as to the east as India and as far to the west as Spain. They began the Church of Jesus Christ. It was a movement that not only attracted people in every generation through 2,000 years, it was a movement that brings us here today in CSK. The Lord has need of you. That's the message. Now, most of us in our most private moments perhaps wonder and ask, why would God have need of me? What do I have to offer? I'm so very ordinary. And maybe we think that we're about as likely to do something significant as that unridden donkey. But that's the point. God calls very ordinary people, and filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do the most extraordinary things. Now, Jesus could have walked up to Jerusalem like the other pilgrims did, but he asks his disciples to bring him the unridden colt, saying he has need of it. And the disciples went, and they got the donkey as Jesus asked them. They were obedient to the request. And the Bible is clear that obedience is better than sacrifice or our outward religious deeds. This is what it tells us in 1 Samuel 15. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Now, Jesus entering Jerusalem in this way fulfilled a prophecy about the Messiah which was foretold by Zechariah more than 500 years before the event. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus is making a very visual statement in arriving on the colt. A donkey was considered to be a noble animal in those days. And when kings rode a donkey instead of a horse, it symbolized that they were coming in peace. So Jesus was communicating that he was coming in peace as a different kind of a king. The people were expecting a king who would destroy the Romans and liberate the Jews. But Jesus didn't come to fight humans at his first coming to earth. He came to fight sin and Satan. He came as the Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know what's going on in each and every one of your lives today, just as you don't know what's going on in mine. But the Lord knows what's happening in our lives. And he cares about what is happening. And if you feel like you're in the middle of a storm right now and things are out of control, remember what Jesus said to the storm. Be still. Jesus came to establish, in the words of Philippians 4:7, a peace that surpasses all understanding. If we've committed our lives to Jesus, if we've asked him, invited him to be our Lord and Saviour, then we can trust the Prince of Peace. We don't know what the future holds when we're in a crisis, but we do know who holds our future, and Jesus can be trusted. If you're in a storm right now, can I encourage you to seek prayer and know that God will never, ever leave you or forsake you? As Jesus rolled the colt, people spread their cloaks on the dusty ground. This was an ancient practice. 2 Kings 9:13 tells us that the people of Israel did the same thing when Jehu was anointed as king. And clothes were expensive in those days, and yet the crowds allowed their property to be trampled by Jesus. Their worship was costly. And some spread the leafy branches as well. And the cloaks and the branches served as the red carpet for Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. And the crowds gathered and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna means, "Oh, save me." People were excited. They were hopeful that Jesus was going to save them from Roman occupation, from poverty, from humiliation, from the unjust laws and the treatment they'd been having. Jesus confronted the people of Jerusalem and Israel with a decision. Were they going to believe in him or not? And Jesus continues to confront people with that same decision because he gives us choices to believe his message and live as he teaches us to live, or reject him and his message. Within that crowd along the road that first Palm Sunday, there were a number of people with different views and reactions as to what was taking place in front of them, just as there are in any crowd today. There were those in the crowd who were merely casual observers. They were in Jerusalem for the Passover. They had no idea what was going on. They didn't care about all the fuss. They were content to stand along the curb and watch the procession go by. They didn't want to get involved. There were the plotting authorities, watching everywhere that Jesus went, everything he did, there to demean and degrade him. The Pharisees and the other temple authorities, they were afraid of him. They were afraid of the power that he seemed to have. He was upsetting the norm of obedience to the Jewish faith. Here was a man who didn't subscribe to some of the laws. He even said that we were to love everyone, to love our neighbours. So some of these temple authorities had been plotting about how to stop Jesus from gathering further followers, working with the Roman authorities to try and stop him. Some people in the crowd praised Jesus, thinking he would save them from the Roman oppression. They were sure that he'd bring an army and overthrow the Roman Empire. But that was not what Jesus seemed to be doing. And they were disappointed and discouraged. They soon lost their belief in who and what Jesus was. And later, some of those believers were perhaps members of the crowd who cried, "Crucify him." But many people followed Jesus and they believed in him. They'd heard or seen some of his miracles. They knew he was a holy man. They'd searched the scriptures and they believed that he was who he said he was. And they committed themselves wholly to him. And these true believers recognized Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And a few would follow Christ regardless of how dark the path became. When the going gets tough for us, do we still keep following Jesus? Or do we sometimes turn away? By the time Good Friday came in Holy Week, there was a new group of people watching the parade, those who were not followers of Jesus. Some of them were planted by the temple authorities. Some were faithful Jews who thought Jesus was teaching heresy. Some were there just because of bloodlust. There was going to be trouble, and they wanted to be part of it. In fact, they wanted to stir it up. These were the people who on Good Friday stood in the crowd shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus offered Jerusalem a choice on that first palm-waving day. And we have the choice today. We can stay in the middle of the road, watching everything that's going on, but never really getting involved. We can be curious, but not committed. We can use Jesus' name, but not follow his teachings. Or we can choose to be dedicated disciples who devote ourselves to Christ and work for the heavenly kingdom. God used an unridden colt. He called 12 very ordinary men to be his disciples. And God is still into the business of using very, very ordinary people to serve him today. The Lord says to us, "I have need of you. When you allow me to work with you and in you and through you, you can do extraordinary things, no matter how ordinary you think you are." Our overarching mission statement here at CSK is connecting with Jesus, making him known. And one of the ways we do this is by reaching out with Christian love and compassion. And we see a church that is mobilized and reaches out in practical and generous ways to its local community and beyond. We see a church that's open and friendly and gives hope to people who are in need. We see a church where people from all generations and backgrounds are welcomed and find love, respect, and dignity. And we see a church where every person can find their place and play their part. As ordinary people, We don't have much to offer. Yet we are ordinary people responding to God's call in Christ Jesus. We are ordinary people trying to do what we believe Jesus is asking us to do. And that means we can do the most remarkable things. That's the good news of the gospel. During Holy Week, can I encourage you, as I'm going to do myself, to look at your life and your relationship with God, to look at ways you can change and become more like Jesus, to look at how you worship Jesus with your life, your treasure, your money, your talents, and your time. What is God asking us to do? Not alone, but with the wisdom and strength of the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and equipping. Who this week can we serve as Jesus served and humbled himself by washing his disciples' feet? If the King of Kings serves in that way, who can we serve in that way? Who can we reach out to this week with God's love as he reaches out and continues to reach out to us? Would you pray with me? Oh God, our Father, on this Palm Sunday, enable each of us to open our hearts and lives that the King of Glory may come in. And may we say from the depths of our being, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. During this week, help us to remember all Jesus went through. Call us to watch and pray with him. We thank you, Father, for all the ways you have blessed us, bringing about good for us, bringing hope out of struggle, peace out of suffering, strength in the midst of our struggles, and the light of your love as we travel. Give us patience with those who try ours. Help us to forgive those who speak evil against us. And help us to love even those who are difficult to love, because they are loved by you. Help us to be peacemakers and to rise up and take our places in serving you and each other. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. If you're able to stand, would you please stand as we continue in sung worship with singing Hosanna.